What's happening, team? Welcome to the Type 1 Movement Podcast, where I'm going to be sharing with you my tips, tricks, and stories to help you lead the healthiest life possible as a Type 1 diabetic. I'm your host, Type 1 Tom. Just a quick disclaimer, any advice that I give will not overpower your medical professional, so please consult with them first if you're thinking of making any changes. Yes, squad, what's happening? Welcome to the Type 1 Movement Podcast with me, your host, Type 1 Tom. So, right, this episode, this is going to be a good one. It's going to be, like, there's no notes or anything. I want to say this first. It's completely off the cuff because I want it to be authentic and my exact thought process of how I approach all of my workouts as a Type 1 diabetic. Now, before we get started, please leave me a rating and a review on the podcast app, as it really does help me reach more Type 1 diabetics and positively impact our community. Also, this goes for you guys watching on the live, you guys listening to this in the future on the podcast. Please screenshot the device, whatever platform you're listening to it on, and you guys watching this on the live now, give it a screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, a little bit of accountability. Let me know your biggest takeaway from this episode so you can share it later on in the day and tag me at Type1_Tom so I can reach out and say thank you. Right. Like I say, no notes on this, and I want it to be completely authentic. So even though I'm a coach right at the end of the day, and my main goal is to help other type 1 diabetics improve their glucose control. Now, a huge part of that is exercise, I'll be honest with you. And I got into coaching. When I got into coaching, I wasn't coaching type 1 diabetics. I was just coaching people for, you know, body transformations and stuff, exercise, performance. So my base is in exercise, and then I was to be able to create this fucking amazing program now that changes the lives of type 1 diabetics, improves their glucose control by coupling the diabetes side of stuff and nutrition and exercise. That's basically my job as a coach, right? So I have got these sort of skills that are thrown together. And this episode, I want to kind of shine through and give you guys, this is all going to be about workouts, how I personally manage my glucose level through each workout. Because it can be tricky, right? It can be tricky. And if you've listened to my previous podcast episodes, I actually speak a lot about how I was diagnosed. And for the first like 4 months, exercise was my life, right? From 16, I started exercising. I got diagnosed at 21. And when I was first diagnosed, I didn't exercise for 4 months because I was so scared about what had happened to my glucose levels. So I understand it can be frustrating. It can be a worry. But I want to share with you my thought process. Now, look, I've run so many tests. I've actually got in my program a whole training video on managing your glucose levels around exercise. So the way, if you could see how I do it, it probably looks like I'm winging it. But these are like decisions that are made from running so many tests, if that makes sense. And this is where I try and get my clients to. So like I say, no notes on this. I'm going to be completely authentic and off the cuff and be completely real with what works for me. What I personally do, yeah? This is what I personally do. Take what you will from it. Take bits that apply to you, bits that you think, oh, I might give that a blast, but this is what works for me. Now, let's start the sort of exercise that I enjoy doing, yeah? Strength training and aerobic conditioning stuff, yeah? So I'm going to start right at the bottom. We're going to start with strength training, and I'm going to tell you what strength training specifically does to my blood glucose levels. It causes me to spike, right? Like the majority of type 1s, strength training, lifting weights, that is, can cause a rise in glucose levels. That's what happens to me. Now, I'm going to skim over. I'm going to get in detail what I actually do for that in a sec, but I'm going to skim over the other sorts of exercise that I do. I'm a big cyclist. That's aerobic. That tends to drop my blood glucose levels. I run. I run on the road. I run in the mountains, which is one of my goals for this month, to get back in the fells, in the hills, and start running and stuff like that, which I have actually done today. So that kind of causes me to drop as well. It can be a little bit more intense than road running. Sometimes I swim, which kind of causes me to stay stable or drop because I'm not that efficient at it. But I want to take for this just kind of like the three things that I predominantly do, and that's strength training, lift weights, cycle, and run, okay? So if we're starting with strength training, now I know strength training spikes my levels. Now, how did I find this out? Right, there's a lot of tests that I run, a lot of trial and error, but the best way, and I always say this, to find out what a specific exercise will do to your blood glucose levels, and switch you guys around on Instagram a bit, the best way to find out what a specific exercise will do to your blood glucose levels as a type 1 diabetic, yeah, take a fucking note on this, is to go in and do the exercise, but wait at least 3-4 if you can, hours after your last bolus of rapid acting insulin. Why? Because then you've got no insulin on board. The only insulin you've got on board is your basal insulin. Pens or pump, it doesn't matter, is your basal insulin. So therefore, you know, when you go into an exercise, I've got no active insulin on board, just my basal insulin. We're never going to get rid of that. We don't need to get rid of that. We just don't want any of your rapid acting or your bolus, you know, like your fast acting insulin on board. So 3-4 hours, if you want to be a goody two shoes, we go into the exercise, we do the exercise, we don't give any corrections. If we have to treat a low, obviously we treat a low. And then we know specifically if that specific exercise, that workout, is going to cause us to drop, or it's going to cause us to spike, or it's going to cause us to stay in range. Yeah, that's how I figured out, after a lot of fucking trial and error and not understanding certain points of what insulin actually does, that's why I figured out strength training, lifting weights causes me to spike, right? So what I do now is predominantly I will strength train in the morning, right? Now, when I wake up in the morning, this way I'm going to tell you what works for me. Don't go and copy this, take what you will. When I wake up in the morning, I'm quite insulin resistant. So even if I wake up in rage, I personally, I'll get foot to floor. And that's when you wake up, a lot of type ones get this. We wake up, we get basically straight away, boom, rising our blood glucose levels because our hormones are racing. It's waking us up. So what I do, I'll wake up, even if I'm in range, I'll give myself maybe a couple of units. So I've got active insulin on board. I'll have a coffee. And within 3 hours, because I know what lifting weights is going to do to my blood glucose levels, it's going to cause me to spike. So I do want some active insulin on board with that, right? Within 3 hours, I'm probably at the gym lifting weights when I wake up. I've not eaten, but I've still got active insulin on board. And that will tend to keep me in range, maybe spike a little bit, but I'll stay in my range. That's with lifting. That's with lifting, right? So that's strength training, throwing weights around at the gym, gym workouts, could be home body weight workouts as well. I tend to do that shit in the morning, right? But I wake up, I know I get foot to floor, so I'm giving myself a couple of units or so of insulin to combat that foot to floor, to also compensate for the coffee that I have, because I don't feel great eating food. This is just me personally, like I say, saying what works for me. I don't feel great eating food than going lifting weights. Yeah, I'll do that faster than in the morning. So that's how I figured out waiting 3 or 4 hours, yeah, after the last bolus of insulin years ago, and I knew lifting weights would spike me, gym workouts would spike me. The same if it's later in the day. Yeah, let's say it's later in the day, it's in the evening, I've had a dead busy day, busy morning, yeah, and I've not managed to get my strength working in the morning, and it's later in the day. Okay, then I've got two options. I could, like I said, I don't really like going in having a meal, but if I do have a meal, it'll be a very small meal, yeah, and I'll go in within 3 hours of having that meal, a small, light meal, and I know I've got active insulin on board from the meal, and that's hopefully going to stop that spike for me. But let's say I go in and it's throughout the day at some point in the evening, it's 4 hours after my last bolus, been rushing around, then I still tend to give myself a very small bolus, usually a unit for me, depending on my range. Then I'll go into the strength workout because I know, like I say, it's going to cause me to spike. That's how I get around strength training. I've met some type ones that strength training actually causes them to drop. Do you know what I mean? It causes them to drop, yeah? But that's how I personally get around the strength training, because I know it causes me to spike. So I go in with active insulin on board. Now, let's take me being on the bike, cycling, and running, yeah? These two sports are aerobic for me, and they cause me to drop. They cause my blood glucose levels to drop. Now, if I'm being super organized, I will know I'm on an insulin pump. I will know that I'm going for a run or a ride that day, and I will stick a temporary basal rate on my insulin pump. Sometimes I'll decrease it by 20, 30%. Now, a big thing for you guys, a huge tip here, big thing for you guys using an insulin pump and wanting to use a temporary basal rate, whether it's to increase or decrease, especially around exercise, you need to set it 2 hours before you go and do the workout. Around 2 hours before you do the workout. Why? Because it's not instant, yeah? Now, I'm going to throw something in here right now, but I will do more when I've actually got this pump. I'm due a pump renewal. I'm going on to the Tandem at X-Slim, or the T-Slim, is it, that links up with the Dexcom G6, because I want to try out the Basal IQ, the automated loop sort of thing, is it? Now, they have an exercise setting which actually takes some of your basal insulin away that you can stick it on. Now, Tandem know this, and they say, for best results, reduce it, stick your exercise setting on before your workout, before your exercise, right? So this is what I'm telling you guys now. If you're using a pump and you're going into a workout and you know it causes you to drop, so you want to take some of your background, your basal insulin down, don't do it there and then go into the workout and have a low and be like, oh, that fucking didn't work. Well, of course it didn't work. It's rapid acting insulin. It takes 2 hours to take effect. So if I'm being well prepared, yeah, I will know that I'm going on a run or a cycle, and 2 hours before that, I will put a temporary decrease on my basal insulin and on my pump, yeah? Because I know that workout causes me to drop the cycle or the run. Now, if you're on pens, I'm going to switch a little bit. If you're on pens, you do have a couple of options. Let's take what I believe personally is the best background insulin, long-lasting insulin on pens if you're active, and that is Levemir. And the reason for that is because it's in 12 to 16 hours. You can split the dose. And we know if we're having an active day with your morning dose, you can decrease it. Yeah. So if you're on Levemir and you're going to have an active day, you're going for a cycle or a run or something, you know, it causes you to drop, maybe you could decrease the morning dose. If you're on something like Lantus or Traceba, this takes at least a couple of days to take effect. So unless you're being super organized and you decide to decrease 2 days before your cycle or run, not really, do you know what I mean? That's not really livable. It's not really going to happen, is it? So with that, what I personally do is I know I can't decrease 2 days before. So I know the exercise that I'm coming into is going to cause me to drop. I'll probably have a small carb-based snack, yeah? So I'm not going to go too much into that, but that's basically what I do with aerobic stuff and a few tips for you guys, yeah? That's if I'm being super organized. Being super organized, I know I'm going for a run a couple of hours before. Get rid of some of that basal rate, decrease 20, 30%, yeah, if I'm going for a run or a cycle. Now, here's what I actually do, because not all the time I'm super organized. I might be like, oh, fancy going for a run. Well, I've only just decided. I've not decreased my basal rate. What do I do? Okay, right. I will still always try and make sure it's 3 or 4 hours after my last bolus, yeah, because like I said, I don't really like doing any exercise with food in my stomach, so I'll try and wait for a little bit. But let's say I've been sitting here doing some work, and I'll be like, right, I fancy going on a run. Well, I've only just decided, and it's a bit late now. I can't just stick a temporary basal rate on because I want to go now. That's not going to take effect for another couple of hours. So let's say I'm in range. What I do is I know I'm going to drop, so I'll probably have a few fruit pastels or a few jelly babies or an apple to give myself a little bit of a spike. Then the run or the cycle can drop me. Yeah, that can sort of bring me back down with that. If this is making sense, guys, on the live, give me a fire emoji. Give me a fire emoji. So that's what I tend to do if I'm not super organized, right? Now, there's another thing. I'm not advising doing this, but this is something I do actually do, and I could do it on a long cycle or a run. The majority of the time, I'll take my pump off. I'll actually take my pump off when I'm going out. So I know I've got an hour or two before my basal insulin runs out, yeah? But then what I do is as soon as I get back in, even if I'm in range, I give myself a bolus because I know I've probably had my pump off for an hour to 3 hours. I'm going to have no background insulin in. I need to give a bolus. That's what I personally do. I do that sometimes just because it can get in the way. If I'm cycling, if I've got my Lycra on or I'm running or something, sometimes I'll take my pump off. Yeah. So that's how this is my thought process. This has come from like a good few years of trial and error. Yeah, that's how I kind of work around my three main sort of sports. So I'm going to recap this for you, team. With strength training, I know it spikes me, yeah? So I will always go into that with some active insulin on board, whether it's the bolus to sort that foot to floor out, if I'm training first thing in the morning, which I usually do, or if it's later in the day, I give myself a small bolus, yeah, and I'll go in, I'll do my strength work, yeah? With my aerobic stuff, cycling and running, I know it causes me to drop. So if I'm being super organized, I will stick a temporary basal rate on, I'll decrease it 20-30%. 2 hours before. 2 hours before I go and do it. I'm not always organized. Sometimes it happens in the moment. I'm not going out for a run or a cycle. So therefore, I will have a snack to try and bring my levels up to stop me dropping low. And I'll let the exercise drop me low. Yeah. Now, if it's the aerobic exercise that's normally going to drop me, right? And I'm being super organized, I'll stick my temporary basal rate on. The majority of the time, I'm not, I'll be honest with you. Majority of the time, I'm not. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go for a cycle or a run. And I'll just end up having an apple, some fruit pastels, some jelly babies or something, yeah? To spite me, knowing that the cycle or the run is going to drop me, yeah?
Now, that's how I get around it. Hopefully you can take something from that. But the biggest tip I can give you is if you're unsure what the exercise is going to do to your glucose levels, wait three, at least 4 hours after your last bolus. Go and do it. Then you're going to know. That's the best tip. That's the biggest tip I can give you. That's what I get all my clients to do. Yeah. Now, I want to just give you guys like some honesty here and be real with you. Yeah. I always take, even to the gym, I'll take a bag of fruit pastels or jelly babies. When I'm out on my bike, I've got a carbohydrate drink with about 50, 60 grams of carbs in this drink. I've got three gels and I've got a bag of fruit pastels or jelly babies on me when I'm on my bike. When I'm running, same. Carb drink, gels. Like I use the Science in Sports ones. Is about 15, 20 grams, might be wrong, of carbs in them. I'll take them. I'll take a bag of fruit pastels or jelly babies. I always take hypo treatments with me. Always. Now, let's say I'm doing a really long run or a long cycle. Sometimes, even if I've been super prepared and I've decreased my basal insulin, even if I've done that, I still end up dropping low at times. Let's say I do 10 workouts. 10 workouts. You can guarantee at least five of them, I'm having to eat to stop myself going low. I catch it before I go low so it doesn't hinder my performance. If I do 10 workouts, it's me being real, at least five of them, I'm having to eat to stop myself going low during the workout. This is mainly cycling and running, not necessarily strength training. This doesn't mean you are losing. If you're a cyclist, you do endurance sports or a runner or what have you, aerobic athlete, and you keeping an eye on your levels, you're scanning your Libre, you got your Dexcom and stuff, or if you're finger pricking, what have you, and you notice how I'm starting to drop low, and you have to have something, fuel, to stop yourself going low, that's not failing. That doesn't matter. That is normal. That's normal. This can still happen to me. Like I say, at least 5 or 10 workouts, that will still happen. And I could have done everything. I could have put my, decreased my basal rate. Do you know what I mean? I've planned it. I've done everything, but I still have these low treatments there just in case. And 5 times, 50% of the time, I'm having to have some of these low treatments because I can see my levels starting to dip. Like I say, that doesn't mean you're failing. Doesn't mean you're a failure because you have to sort a low out on the workout. Because I do speak to a lot of type ones and they're like, oh, I had to sort a low out on the workout. Oh, what's the point of having to eat back the calories that I've burnt off? Don't fucking think of it like that. That's daft. Do not think of it. I'll tell you fucking straight up. Tough love Tom here again now. Don't think of it, you're working out to burn calories and then you drop low, you have to put the calories back in. No, you're working out for your mental health because it makes you fucking feel good and because it helps with your glucose and insulin sensitivities. That's why you're working out. You're not just working out to burn calories. So don't feel bad if you end up having to eat to sort a low during a workout. It's not a failure, yeah? So recap real quick. Even though recap before, on how I manage my blood glucose levels. Strength training tends to spike me, so I will always go into that, generally in the morning, with some active insulin on board, yeah? Aerobic work, cycling and running tends to drop me, so if I'm being super organized, I'll stick a temporary decrease in my basal rate. If not, even if I'm in range, I know it's gonna drop me, I'll have something to spike my levels, and the majority of the time, I'm taking my pump off, but then when I get back, I'm giving myself a bolus because I know I'll have a flat period where I've got no insulin on board, yeah? Take what you will from this. That's how it works for me personally. But like I say, the best advice, because hey, strength training might cause you to drop. It does with some type ones. We're all a little bit different. Take what you will from it. But the best thing that you can take from this is wait 3 or 4 hours, like I keep saying, after your last bolus of insulin, go and do the exercise, get the data, see what happens. Hey, it caused me to drop. Right, what can I put in place so I don't drop? Or if I do drop, it's not as harsh. It's not stopping a workout. Hey, this workout caused me to spike. All right, what can I do now going into the next workout? Now I know this workout's going to cause me to spike. Yeah, that is the best advice I can give you on that. And you know another bit of advice? It takes time. Be consistent with it. Be consistent. Just go and fucking do it. Yeah. That's, like I say, for the first 4 months of being diagnosed, I loved exercise. And I was like, oh, I've just figured out like how to sustain my levels and stuff. Now I've got to go and exercise. Nah, I kept thinking that, and I wouldn't exercise because of it. But eventually I have to be like, right, this is my life. I'm just going to, do you know what I mean, go and exercise. I'm going to deal with what happens. And that's how I want you to be. That's why I'm giving you this information, giving you these tips, so you can go and exercise. And then you can start to build confidence with it. Huge thing with this, the more that you do something, the more that you apply something, the more confident, the more data you get, the better you get, and the more confident that you become. Team, that is it. If you got value from this episode, please leave me a rating and a review on the podcast app, as like I say, it really does help me reach more type 1 diabetics and positively impact our community. And it does genuinely upset me when I see type 1s avoiding workouts because they're a little bit worried or they're not too sure about what will happen with their glucose levels, when, trust me, get through that initial hindrance period of trial and error and testing, and the rewards on the other end of how well it can help you manage your glucose levels are fucking paramount. It's invaluable. Team, that is it. Until the next episode, peace.